Australia. How you going? That's right, it's NBA Australia, it's Friday. Friday. TGIF, am I right? February 28th, and I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes for Rolling Stone. Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and literally whoever else wants to throw some of that folding stuff my way. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it. Of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. Pregnant wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. That's what we do here. We don't take shit too seriously, as evidenced by the fact that it's Fuck It Friday. I love Fuck It Friday. Got to smash all the, smash the show, then go to the pub. Well, pick up the squid and then go to the pub. Sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah, pretty relaxed NBA day today. We only had the four games. Had a pretty good one there in Indy, Portland. A bloke got fined for chucking a sickie. A bit of injury news. Anyway, we're going to wrap up all the games today, and there's all the usual dumbassery. That's not a knife. Oh, mate, no mates. Spud of the night, pants in the evening, better than Lonzo Ball because it's Friday. There's dickhead of the week. And, of course, there's yeah nahs, there's the unpopular opinion of the day, and there's Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a couple of flame grill takes. There's also the Australian Player Watch, a very brief one today. We've only got one Aussie, Aussie Matisse. Yes, in action. But also, because we do this every Friday, there's the Luke Longley Memorial Bloke, who just did their bloody job, Role Player Hall of Fame, featuring a 96 bull, as well as a pick and preview for every single bloody game on the weekend. And that's all brought to you by playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Go there for all your NBA betting needs. Join up. That'll be awesome. The best part is we're going to close out with a brand new Cooking with Bainesy. Oh, it's a ripper. He's going to cook up a delicious dish for you. All right, let's get to it. It's episode 418 of NBA Australia. Let's go. We're all faking the fans.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. I mean, if you're Chuck or Kenny or even Shaq himself today, Inside the NBA was pretty funny today. It was awesome. Shaq's like, I don't want your advice. And Chuck's like, I'm not going to give you advice. You're going down the Titanic like you always do. Trashing the Kings, and then Shaq's trashing the Suns. Ernie torched Chuck for one of the weakest takes ever. If all their good players go back healthy, maybe they'll be good and maybe they'll make the playoffs. And Ernie's just like, get the fuck out of here. It was pretty good. It was pretty funny as well, though. The Shaq-Chuck back and forth about Harrison Barnes, I very much appreciated. Was it Shaq was like, my Sacramento King's going to get in. They're going to get that eighth spot. And Chuck's like, is your boy shaved yet? Harrison Barnes said he's not going to shave. Shaq's like, who? I don't even know who that is. Oh, Harrison Barnes. I'm sorry, yeah. He said that? He on that team? Yeah, maybe Shaq should watch out for the Shaq attack of himself sometimes and forgetting who's on the team that he owns a part of. Anyway, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia. It's the Daily Whip Around. There we go. Nice one. A bit of news. Joel Embiid is out for a week or so with a shoulder sprain. Didn't play versus the Knicks today, obviously, but there's no permanent or structural damage. So I think they've got a couple of LA trips next week. Bit of a road trip out west for Philly. Dare say Embiid will sit all that out. Nice one. Jalen Brunson, erstwhile Dallas Maverick. They've, according to ESPN's Tim McMahon, apparently the Mavs are afraid that he has a torn labrum in his right shoulder. Which, yeah, he's out for at least a couple of games. They're going to figure out and see if he's okay to play out the rest of the season or not. Which is a big blow because he's been a very, very handy backup point guard for them all year as Brunson. And it seems like, at the very least, postseason surgery is a possibility. So hopefully he's all right, because that sucks. Also, maybe season-injury news. Kelly Oubre Jr. Absolutely brutal. Torn meniscus in his right knee. Might miss the rest of the season. You know, meniscus is weird. Sometimes you can be back in a month. Sometimes it's 6-7 months. Who knows? Pretty crazy. Pretty tough. He's been averaging over 18 points a game. 6.4 rebounds. He's been very, very good. Unfortunately, yeah. Maybe for the rest of the season. And finally, I mentioned this at the top of the show. The NBA have fined the T-Wolves the Minnesota Timber Pups $25,000 for violating the league's player resting policy. That's the first time the league have actually enforced the load management rules they brought in and clarified this November. It happened this week when they rested D'Angelo, who was a healthy player under this policy, during Monday's game against the Nugs, which just also happened to be D'Angelo's birthday. So, look, a bloke chucks a fucking sickie on his birthday, and it cost the T-Wolves 25 large ones. Jesus. Tough scenes, tough scenes. All right, let's do some game wraps for today. Quick one. Only four games today. All pretty fun. The Sixers held off the Knicks 115-106. No Simo or Embiid for the Sixers at home. There were no problems. Of course, every time they go on the road, they're a shit show. At home, they're unbeatable. Tobias Harris was awesome from the get-go. 14 in the first quarter. Basically, the team blew them out. The Sixers blew them out the second. They're up 15. Knicks kind of came back a little bit, kept coming back in the fourth. They even got it down to 5 points with about 2 minutes left. But Tobias then hit a three, sealed it up. Just not enough class on this Knicks team to keep up with a team like that. But also, they did cover, so, you know. Told you. It was a wire-to-wire win for the Sixers, though. Julius Randle was all right. 30 and 10 for him with 5 assists. But, I mean, is there a less impactful 30 and 10 and 5 assists that you'll ever see than a Julius Randle one? It's like TJ Warren. Just, I don't know, man. Mo Harkless. Don't be Mo Harkless. 17 and 5 and 7. 5 of 7 from 3 for him. Also asked, hey, is it tough... You're going from celebrating lots of wins with the Clippers to playing on these fucking shit town Knicks. And he's like, yeah, it's pretty tough. No shit. Alfred Payton and his stupid hair, 18 points, 6 boards, 12 dimes. His hair's all right now. RJ Barrett, 15 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists as well. Not bad for a bloke who doesn't know which hand he fucking shoots with. The Sixers, Tobias Harris was amazing. I'm going to talk about him again later. 34-7-7. Shake Milton was incredible as well. 5-5 from downtown. He had 19 points on 7 shots. He was incredible. Average Al Horford stepped up a little bit. Not bad for a bloke getting paid over $25 million a year to finally fucking wake up. 15 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists. A steal and a block for Average Al. Richo Richardson, Joshy, 0-4 from downtown, but he ended up with 11 points, 7 and 3. Little Big, though. It's interesting to see them when they run Richardson as the point. And it's like, he's not a point guard. He can sort of do a little bit of initiation, but like no one's playing him like they're playing Simo, or, you know, even like a sort of DJ Augustine where it's like, oh yeah, he can run a pick and roll. Ah, oh, watch out, he's going to do a pull up out of nowhere. So yeah, it's weird when he's handling it. Little Big Dog had a bit of a sook. We'll talk about that again later too. He had 4 points. Fucking Furkan Korkmaz, 11 points. Kylo Quinn came out of nowhere and was pretty handy. 10 rebounds. He had like fucking 6 rebounds in 4 minutes out of nowhere too. Anyway, good win for the Sixers. Good bounce back on a back-to-back. 17-42 for the New York City Knickerbockers of New York City. Philly moved to 28-2 at home. They're 37-23. Nice one. OKC Sacramento was an absolute rip snorter. So the two middle games of this one today were awesome. Sacramento OKC and Indy Portland. OKC went at 112-108. No Diaz of Fox for Sacramento. He's got a lower abdominal muscle tightness. You know, the secret there, Diaz, is just not having abs. but awesome come from behind win by the Thunder. They were down by 19 in the third quarter. It was huge. They pulled it back basically all the way through the rest of the third on a 15-0 run. They even got ahead, lost the lead. And what do I always say here on NBA Australia? The toughest thing in fucking the NBA is basically coming from a massive, massive deficit. Either getting ahead or then, well, getting ahead and then staying ahead. And this is what happened. They lost the lead a couple of times, but then the Kings just couldn't put them away. This is the big problem. They couldn't do it. And it's like, oh, shit, we're still within, you know, one or two possessions. That's exactly what happened. They basically out-executed them down the stretch. Last 5 minutes of this game were really, really fucking good. Gallo had an unreal and one alley-oop and a huge three to put them back up 5 at one point. CP3 and Shai Redick-Gilgeous-Alexander did their thing despite couple of turnovers at the end from German Rondo and Dennis Schroeder, who had a pretty horrible one, and so did CP3. But OKC, hold on, win by 4. Good win. Kings were on a bit of a run there too. What did they win? 3 straight. They had 15 turnovers in this. Harrison Barnes, Black Falcon, 21 points. Belly Belica made 4 of 6 threes. He had 18 and 9. Buffy's best mate, Giles. Harry Giles the 3rd, 19 and 8 for him. 11-4-4 for Bogdanovic. A couple of bad turnovers late. 5-9 from downtown for Buddy. Steph Curry Hield, 15 points as well. Still off the bench. Anytime you can pay a bench bloke a shit ton of money like the Kings are doing for Buddy, you got to do it, I guess. What are you doing, Kings, you idiots? Anyway, the Thunder rode Gallo to the win, 24 points, including, six big ones late. CP3 had 17, 4, and 7 assists. Shai Redick-Gilgeous-Alexander at 20. He's going to pop up again later in 13. Look, I always say Dennis Schröder, German Rondo, when he's inefficient, the Thunder really, really struggle, and that's exactly what happened. He went 4 of 12 today, and they barely win. But he was good late. 13, 5, and 7 for him. Good win for the Thunders. Sacramento are now 24 and 34. And still sort of staring at the end of the Western Conference playoff run. Kind of looking at it going, oh, can we make it? Can we make it? Oh, I don't know. And, oh no, it's pretty hard, man. They're now 4 games back of the Memphis Grizzlies with the Blazers, the Pelicans, and the Spurs between them as well, too. So tough times. Tough times. Okay, so you move up to the 5th in the West with that win. They're 37-22. Portland versus the Indiana Trailblazers. Wait, no, the Indiana Pacers and the Blazers. There we go. It's a bit all fucking... What are you who's had too many coffees today? Is it me? Yeah, there we go. Weird game. Indy win at 106-100. Portland felt like they had this for a big part of the game. Up most of the third quarter. Indy came all the way back. Took the lead at one point, and then did so to close out the quarter. They're up 5 out of nowhere. Victor Oladipo had 12 points in the third quarter. He was awesome. Turner and Brogdon were great. It was also a lot of like Caleb Swanigan, and you're like, oh, okay, Portland, Jesus. But then they sort of smoked him in the fourth, but then also gave it away late. Basically, Indy didn't score for like the last 2 minutes, did the old paces. Yeah, Indy smoked him in the fourth, riding a bit more El Presidente, Malcolm Brogdon, and a bit of Suva. Portland going a 7-0 run, scare him up a bit, and then fucking Miles Turner out of nowhere goes bang, hits his second three of the game. The first one he hit, it was a buzzer-beating, shot clock buzzer-beating, 3 from the corner. And then 9 seconds left in the game. It's 103-100. Miles Turner hits a massive, massive 3 from the top of the key. Dagger. Game over. Indy win. Blazers, CJ McCollum wasn't quite CJ McCollum today. 28 points on 11 of 27 shooting.
Kobe.
Gary Trent Jr. at 20, 4 of 8 from downtown. Whinging Hassan Whiteside, 18 points, 16 rebounds and 4 blocks. But I don't know, man. It's pretty crazy you can put up those numbers and still not be very good at basketball, you know what I'm saying? 12-7 for Carmelo Anthony. While the young Blazers, Anthony Simons and Nasir Little, would have liked to have seen a little bit more from them in this game. Not great. 6-3 and 0-3 respectively. That's 6 points, 3 rebounds, 0 points, 3 rebounds for those guys. Trevor Ariza's veterans presence. Thanks for coming, Trevor. 3 of 10 shooting for 8 points. Wildly ineffective. Awesome. But for Indy, look, Victor Oladipo had the 15 and 7. 12 in the third quarter was really, really good. Led the comeback out of nowhere. Suva had 20, 11 and 4. Miles Turner, 14 and 10 with 2 blocks. Hit those 2 threes, as mentioned. And El Presidente, Malcolm Brogdon. 8 assists, 6 rebounds, 17 points. Was just a steadying presence. And, you know, this is a process for the Pacers. They've got to figure out how to play El Presidente and Victor next to each other. It's the same as the Yaz and Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell. Indy, though, they've got dudes like Juzzy Holiday can hit in 3 threes and TJ Warren can drop in 15 points. So, anyway, this is a fantastic one. It was a good one. Good win for Indy. Portland, look, even without Dame, Nurk, the giant fucking Bieber-looking motherfucker. What's his name? Zachy Cakes Collins. Yeah, still dangerous. And, good win in the Nate McMillan Bowl. Portland are now 26 and 34. It's 3 games back of the Memphis Grizzlies in 8th in the West. And the Indiana Pacers are 35 and 24. And they're 6th in the East. Nice one. And finally, the Lakers shit pumped the Warriors. 116-86. An absolute smashing. No Bron, no worries. This was crazy because it was actually pretty close at half. And then the Lakers outscored them 62-34 in the second half. So, yeah, that'll do it, bro. Like, the Lakers are only up 2 at the half and then fucking just straight up, you know, killed him. They got straight killed.
So he got straight killed.
Yeah, they got straight killed. Draymond got tossed because he's a fucking whinging baby. And, yeah, it was funny. Like, this was weird. The Lakers are like, you know, they fucked around a bit. The Warriors are like, hey, we're frisky. Look at us, we're frisky. The Lakers are, all right. We'll let you fuck around for a half. Now we're going to play for like the third quarter and just flat out killed them and the game was over. The Warriors had 27-2 turnovers. That'll do, Pig. That'll do. Pascal had 23. Jordan Poole had 16 points, 8 assists. Draymond, I mean, as mentioned, got tossed for having a fucking bitch and moan about being tripped by Dwight Howard. Whatever. Draymond, just... Dude, come on, man. 15-6-4 for Damian Lee. The Lakers, Anthony Davis played 25 minutes. He had 23 points. He was very good because he's very good at basketball. Kuz had 18. JaVale, Rondo, and Bradley all had 12s, and Dwight had 13-9. Golden State had 12-47. Lakers, 45-12. Absolutely crushing it. Best record in the West. Nice one. All right, let's do the NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a night. That's a night.
What a turnaround. Spud of the night yesterday. Tobias Harris is now the NBA Australia approved performance of the night. That's not a knife. This is a fucking knife, he says. 34-7-7. Amazing game. 14-21, but I think most importantly, from the get-go, I mean, yeah, it's against the fucking Knicks, but at the same time, you're on a back-to-back. You come back after a shitty loss to Cleveland. That's right, against Cleveland of all teams.
Cleveland!
And just went, right, we're not fucking losing tonight, you idiots. 14-21 he shoots, has 14 in the first quarter, and just doesn't let up. And as mentioned, he hit that three to basically make sure this was dead and buried late in the fourth. Only a 5-point lead with 2 minutes left. The Knicks are kind of just like, oh, maybe we should try. And Tobias like, ah, fuck off, idiots. But he was great. And I mean, that's why you pay a dude a shit ton of money, but it's still like, all right, can you do this now the rest of the time that Simo and Embiid are out? Tobias, come on, you never nude. Let's do it. Tobias Harris, great game. It's against the Knicks. Let's see you do it next time. And the time after that. Earn that money, Tobias. Earn that money. I believe in you. 34-7-7 today, though. He was awesome. 3 of 6 from downtown. 1 steal, 1 block, 1 turnover. Great stuff. On you, Tobias. All right. What about old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no mates.
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 Who's got no mates today? Oh, Carmelo. Oh, has he still got no mates? How are those Pacers fans? Honey Nut Cheerios. Mallow's at the free throw line. He's getting Honey Nut Cheerio chants at him. Look, we all know that Pacers fans are low-key savage. They've got some pretty fucking good ones in the old barrel. But goddamn, Honey Nut Cheerios is like, whoa, where did that one come from? It's a fucking while ago. Talking about KG nailing Carmelo Anthony's wife. I mean, Jesus. Tough scenes for Mallow and Indy. Also, all mate, no mates. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a lot of stats. Like now that Houston are actually doing all right, everyone's taking a little bit of time out to slam Clint Capela. In 2017-18, the Rockets were 50-5 with Harden, CP3, and Capela in the lineup. So far this year, the Rockets are 16-1 with Harden and Westbrook and no Capela. Jesus. And in the 8 games since they traded Capela, their points per game have gone up 1.1. They've got a plus 3.7 offensive rating, plus 3.6 net rating, and a plus 4% true shooting percentage. So I think it's working out. They're also 12th in defensive rating since the Clint Capela trade. Now, that's a lot of ratings and some bullshit and some nerd stuff. But all this is to say the Rockets were like, we're fucking sick of this Swiss prick. Get him out of here. It worked out. Not bad. Ah, man. Some good stuff. So there you go. Mallow and Clint Capela. Old mate, no mates. Spud of the night, though.
Spud, 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 spud of the night.
Spud of the night. Look, this was going to be, it's almost coward of the night because Andrew Wiggins, I was very excited to see if he'd get a 20-game personal losing streak. Seriously, the dude hasn't won a game since January 9. I think he'd lost maybe, was it 12 or 13 straight with the Wolves, then gets traded to the Warriors, and now they've lost 7 straight with him. And, goes up against the Lakers. He was going to spud it up, as Andrew Wiggo Wiggins does, Air Canada. But sat out. Didn't play. It's like, oh, actually, nah, I'm going to see this one out, fellas. And he didn't play. So, yeah, tough. It's like, aw. But Wiggo, I want to see if you can get to 20 straight losses. That's pretty impressive, mate. Like, 20 straight losses is just a shit ton, you know? Anyway. He has a thoracic spasm in his upper back, apparently. So Bit shit, but still. So actual spuds in the night, Yogi Ferrell. No Dowser Fox, and usually this is Yogi's time to shine. He goes, all right, I'm a great backup point guard. 14 minutes, 0 of 4 from the field, 0 of 2 from downtown, 2 assists, 2 turnovers, 0 points, and a minus 3. Thanks, Yogi. But the Crew Show ran into a bit of a brick wall today. 0 of 5 in 15 minutes. His shot was not on for the Bald Mamba. Bit of a shame. He was still somehow a plus 12. Jesus, that's cool. Panting of the night. This goes to Ernie. Ernie Johnson eviscerating Charles for his shitty take of, you see, Ernie, if Portland get Dame Lillard, Yusuf Nurkic, Zach Collins, they get all their guys back and they make the playoffs, they might worry somebody. And Ernie's like, what? That's not even vaguely interesting, Charles. It's like, it's very obvious. It was a very, very, very brutal pantsing in a very subtle way by Ernie, and I loved it. Who was better than Lonzo Ball today, though?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. The shy red of Gilgeous Alexander, that is, that's for sure. 8 of 15 in his 38 minutes today. 20 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists and a block. And was awesome down the stretch. Like, they were looking for him. He's driving to the fucking hoop, getting hard buckets. Had an and-one late that basically helped seal the game. Shai Redick-Gilgeous-Alexander is a fucking weapon. And I actually really, really enjoy watching this Thunder team. Usually hate watching Chris Paul because he's a whingy kind of cranky dipshit. And it's really annoying a lot of the time. But the balance between him, Stephen Adams Brew, the Italian stallion himself, Danilo Gallinari, the German Rondo Dennis Schroeder. It's very fun. So, I don't know, man. Thunder, that was great. Good job, Shai Redder. He was awesome. And finally, it's Friday, so let's do Dickhead of the Week.
Dickhead of the Week.
The actual, quite literal, head of a penis of the week, the dick head, if you will, is LeBron's schlong. Knocking this shit out of Josh Hart, but also, like, having LeBron having a groin strain, so he takes a night off against the Warriors. See, D'Angelo, that's how you do it. You don't go, oh, it's my birthday, can I have the day off? And they're like, sure. LeBron's like, ah, I fucking, like, 100% turkey slapped Josh Hart in the jaw with my old fella, and now I've got a groin strain. Everyone's like, yeah, checks out. So the actual head of a penis this week is LeBron Schlong. But also, dickhead of the week, Danny Ainge is out there saying, if we see a move that'll help us, we'll do it. Fans might be too hung up on what familiar names did in the past. Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Danny Ainge, basically a bit of a dickhead, saying, we're not signing Isaiah Thomas. Aww, but you traded him, you dickheads. You fucking stabbed him in the back. You can't bring him back now. That's a tough one. We've also got a question about Joakim Noah on the Celtics in just a second. But also, dick of the week, Draymond getting tossed after he cracked it about being tripped was pretty fucking funny. But he also flopped. I mean, so classic dickhead Draymond. It's funny sometimes, but him just absolutely losing it and spazzing out on the ref was pretty funny. And it's also like, all right, cool. You haven't played in 2 days, 2 games. You're playing the Lakers. Maybe your team needs you out there, Draymond. You know, lead by example. Nah, I'm going for a shower. Fuck off. I'm going to just spaz out of the ref. Thanks for coming, Draymond. Thanks for coming. All right, let's do some yeah-nahs after this.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Ian Oz. Take a few NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more
nah.
What do you reckon? What do you think? You've got some good yeah nahs? Send them in. Need more yeah nahs? Oh, Scott Baxter. Love Scott. He messaged one through. Yeah, nah, if Jar performances falls off a cliff and Pels jump Grizzlies for the playoffs, Zion will win Rookie of the Year. Scott, yeah, nah. If they do, there's going to be a massive argument about it, and it's going to be hilarious, and it's going to be awesome. Absolutely fucking hilarious. Also a good one from listener Brad McEgan. Jimmy, yeah, nah, too late for a Bangers buyout, or do the Suns think they are actually building something? Would be an ideal weapon to play next to Box Hill Benny when Joel hits the pine. I think it will be too late because I do believe the Suns love Bangers. And I feel like they're actually kind of building something a little bit there because next to DeAndre Ayton Drummond, Bangers is actually like super fucking valuable because you've actually got a big man who impacts the game as opposed to puts up empty stats like DeAndre Drummond Ayton. So he won't get bought out, and it would be awesome to see him on the Clippers or somebody. Like, he'd be much better suited, I think, for the Clippers than even Mook Morris. And he'd be great, like, you know, to replace the Kylo Quinn minutes on the Sixers, but yeah, nah, not quite there. And Danny Green, old mate, no mates. Brad McEgan throws him out there. 19 minutes, 0-1 and 1 assist. What the fuck was he doing out there today? Yeah, I mean, what the fuck was he doing out there? Hanging out and getting paid is the answer to that one. Yeah, it was like weird. I remember watching that going, what? Then every time I saw Avery Bradley, I thought it was Danny Green, but Danny Green just, yeah. He's like, you don't need me today, do you? No. All right. Other yeah, nah. Should the Wolves have been fined for resting D'Lo? Yeah, nah. Nah fucking way. Are you kidding? It was his birthday. He chucked a sickie. Settle down, you cops. Fucking, who knew that the NBA was such cops? What are you, my old boss? Jimmy, I need to see a medical certificate. I'm too fucking sick to go to the doctor, you dickhead. Meanwhile, I'm just really fucking hungover. Next one up. Does little big dog Glenn Robinson III have a point about the Sixers not explaining his job? Yeah, nah. Ooh. This is an interesting one, but also, yeah, he does have a point, but also maybe, yeah, a little. He says, when you come here and your role is not really explained to you or you don't know what's going on with the trade, it's not like it was a trade where you come in and immediately have an impact. It's all a bit confusing. It's, all right. Well, that is on the coaches to explain exactly what your role is and how they're going to utilize you. But at the same time, you are basically like the 10th man on the roster, Glenn Robinson III. The only reason you're playing so much for the Golden State Warriors was because they were tanking. Like, I don't know what to tell you, bro. Like, you're not a superstar. That's why you've bounced around the league so much on minimum contracts. But at the same time, yeah, maybe that's a big problem in Philly. They're not explaining what the fuck people should be doing all the time very well. Interesting. Well, yeah. Keep an eye on that. From Mouthguard Tanty on Twitter, Jimmy, I sniff someone getting sucked into picking up that spud joke game. Noah, hashtag boss tag, hashtag yeah, nah. Yeah, actually, I kind of like joke game Noah on Boston a little bit. I think he'd be a good fit. Comes on, just play some defense and junk buck, get some junk buckets. He's like the flip side of Enos Kanter. I kind of like it. But then I threw that out to Boston Pat, my erstwhile biggest Celtics fan mate, who I've watched an absolute shit ton of basketball with. But Boston Pat says, I don't hate having a vet around, but not sure what he gives us that Kanter doesn't. Well, defense, I'd say. He's a better rim protector, I suppose, but Time Lord like will take that role back a week from now. Yeah, Robert Williams, Time Lord, he'll be back. So don't think they need Joe Keem. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see him in the green. And finally, is Ja Morant right? Do people disrespect Russell Westbrook? Yeah, nah, yes. Of course they do. And it fucking sucks. And obviously, you know me, I love Rusty. But it's because he's got a weird game and, you know, doesn't shoot threes that well. And now he's realized, fuck it, I just won't shoot threes. And people aren't killing him about it like they do Simo. Like, he's mental and he's weird and his game is fucking awesome sometimes. And it's fucking infuriating sometimes. That's why it's so good to watch him. Like, he's mental and weird and not everyone has to be the fucking same. You know? Like, we used to celebrate originality and weirdness and coolness. But now it's like, look at him. He's getting rebounds and assists and he's getting triple doubles and like that's good and everything. It's like, meanwhile, he's taking dragging fucking teams to playoffs after playoffs after playoffs, averaging triple doubles. If every fucking player gave as much effort as Russell fucking Westbrook did, there'd be a lot better players in the NBA, you know? Like, you go average 10 rebounds in the NBA as a guard, let alone average fucking 10 assists as well. Get the fuck out of here. Yes. His usage percentage was through the fucking roof, but who the fuck else are you going to give it to on that team? T-Ferg? Jesus. Steven Adams? And now you see his usage percentage way below what it was, and his efficiency is fucking skyrocketed next to a really good player, similar to when he was with Durant. So, yeah. I love Rusty. Y'all know that. He's fucking great. Any disrespect, get the fuck out of here. All right, unpopular opinion of the day. Going to back up yesterday's point. The Jazz are cowards for benching Jingles and not Conley, because I didn't even realize yesterday, but the Jazz had actually announced to the team that Conley was being benched. And then they're like, oh, nah, actually, Jingles is going to be. So the unpopular opinion of the day, I know we've got some Jazz fans out there. It's Yaz. It's a soft J. But clown show. What the fuck is going on there? I'm curious to know whether or not Jingles went, hey, look, I know we've got to get this Mike Conley shit figured out. So how about I just hit the bench? You know, I'm just a good bloke. I'm Jingles. Maybe that happened, maybe didn't. But still, the Jazz are cowards for not even saying that. You know, it basically looks like they've just thrown fucking Jingles to the wolves and told him to fuck off and get back on the bench. Whereas they could come out and say, look, we actually announced that he was going to, and Jingles was like, no, he took one for the team. He's going to come off the bench. Jazz, don't be cowards. Tell us what happened. All right, finally, it's Outback Takeouts for Friday. It's Friday at Outback, and you know what that means? Ice cold 4-for-1 TGIF Foster's Oil Drum cans, full of icy cold Foster's Lager. That's right, it's Australian for beer. It's also Australian for what the fuck is this horse piss? Only at Outback. And today's flame grilled takes are the new Tassie NBL team should steal the Tigers nickname away from the old Melbourne team and from Richmond in the AFL. And just to hope to sway fans and lean on the name brand recognition that way. It just makes sense. Go ahead and fucking do it, Tassie. And the other flame grill take is, the Sixers will be better on the road without Simo and Embiid. Well, maybe. I actually like that one. Yeah, I reckon they'll stand a fighting chance as long as Horford pulls his fucking head out of his bum. I really do feel like this is like a moment where the Sixers, I mean, I eviscerated them yesterday because they played like fucking dog shit against Cleveland. And today they were much better against the Knicks. Now, they got some pretty interesting games over the weekend. You know? They play the Clippers on Monday. That should be fun. Who knows what the fuck is going to happen? It's going to be awesome. So, let's see if they can, come together and actually kick some ass, take some names. It'd be fascinating to see. All right, let's do some Australian player watching some other fun stuff right after this one from Rowdy.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, Australian player watch, let's do it. Only one Aussie in action today, and it was Aussie Matisse. Fucking love Matisse Thybulle. In the win over the Knicks of the Sixers, he played 15 minutes again, same as yesterday. 3 of 8 from downtown, 0 of 2 from 3 though. Hit a couple of threes, Aussie Matisse, you're killing me. 6 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist and 1 steal. Good stuff. But we do have a lot of Aussie action over the weekend. Because we have, a couple of Utah games. We've got Utah hosting Washington. We've got a bit of, who else? We've got San Antonio and Phoenix both in action as well. We've got the Cavs out there a couple of times. They're playing Indy. Yeah, so lots of Aussies. You'll be right. But what else do we do on Fridays? We have a bit of the old Luke Longley Memorial bloke who just did their bloody job. Role player Hall of Fame. And this is a great Luke Longley Memorial bloke who just did their bloody job. Role player Hall of Fame, because I posted a picture up on the old NBA Australia facey earlier today of a picture of Dennis Rodman, Big Lucian, Reverse Kanga, Longley, Scottie Pippen, Ron Harper, and Michael Jordan. Pretty amazing. Incredible photo from the 96 season. Lucian is wearing a pair of amazing jeans and what appears to be a pair of Ugg boots with a leather jacket and his t-shirt tucked in to those jeans while not wearing a belt. Incredible. But also, the Role Player Hall of Famer this week is Tony Kukoc. I love Tony fucking Kukoc. The perfect third, fourth banana behind MJ Pippen and Luke Longley. And Rodman, I guess. For those Bulls in that three-peat, shot 40% from three in the 96 season, averaged 13, 4, and 4, basically, as the super six-man for those three-peat Bulls. He was fucking grouse. I don't know about you, but I absolutely love Tony Kukoc. I love watching him play. He had like a weird herky-jerky Euro game before really we'd sort of learnt how to figure out how that worked. You know, he sort of bounced in and out of the starting lineups of the Bulls as Phil Jackson needed him to, and actually came up massive in a bunch of games. I mean, do you remember, like, what was it, the 98 playoffs? Absolutely fucking shredded the Jazz a couple of times. He had 30 in game 5? Yeah. Amazing stuff. Would always pop off when you least expected and when it sort of asked and leaned on. Like, he was really, really good. Obviously, infamously, they ran the play for him in the 95 playoffs and Scottie Pippen chucked the Spurs and declared that he had a migraine. But anyway, Tony Kukoc was absolutely amazing. He's absolutely perfect as a role player, where he could probably do a little bit more, but was sort of thrust into a role, made the best of it, kicked its ass, took its name, and was amazing. So, Tony Kukoc, you're a fucking superstar, and I love your guts. Also had perfect hair. Also looked like he smelled like goulash. But look, that's amazing. Good job, Tony Kukoc. A Luke Longley teammate, as well as a memorial bloke who just did their bloody job. Role player, Hall of Famer right now. All right, Paddy Fuel's Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in for today. Paddy with the good hair. We've actually got a Thon McKerr one today because there's a good tweet, inspirational tweet from Thon. So Thon retweeted, "A Cole was once listed as one of Ontario's top 90 youth football players. He's from Richin. He's been rapping at FTG Metro about his neighbourhood, its violence, etc. And there's a great story by the Ottawa Citizen about, clearly, one of Thon's... Here we go. Yeah. This is absolutely fucking brutal because, yeah, Manioc Akol was brutally killed. So it was really, really, really fucking sad. And I would have known nothing about this if it went for Thon. So it was amazing, amazing stuff. Really, really, really sad story. Because, yeah, just incredible, incredible, like, rapping and stuff like that. And... it's a tough one. Tough one. But anyway, Thon, you're a legend. He also tweeted out yesterday, "Appreciate all the birthday wishes. The day you learn about my story and where I come from and what I've been through, you understand at a different level of toughness and mental strength that's behind this smile. But for now, life goes on. Prayer hands. So tough scenes, but Thon is inspirational as usual. Incredible, incredible stuff. Love you guys, Thon. It's good stuff. All right, let's do some game previews for the weekend, shall we?
Game previews.
All right, these are brought to you by PlayUp Australia. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. Their payouts are awesome. Today we went 3 of 4 on the picks. It's pretty good. I believe the only one that missed was OKC Sacramento. Yeah, we hit Sixers +9 over the Knicks, -7 OKC. We missed that. Portland +9.5 against Indy was a win, and the Lakers -10.5 over the Warriors was a win too. So good stuff. 3 of 4. So that takes us to 446 of 803 for the year. Not bad. All right. Cool. Let's have a look at the odds for tomorrow's games and do some head-to-heads for the rest of them. So how are we doing? We're looking good. Let's do it. Minnesota at Orlando. Now, the T-Wolves are an absolute shit show and definitely do not have anyone in the middle to combat Aaron, Air Gordon, and Vucevic, so I'm going to take the Magic -7.5. The Timberwolves are sneakily fucking horrible, so Orlando should take care of them. The Nets, all right, this is suspended. It was -2.5. I'd take the Nets at Atlanta -2.5. I think they bounced back from a couple of heartbreaking losses to win that one. Charlotte at Toronto. Raptors are 14-point favorites against Charlotte, and I think they cover that because the Hornets, again, talking about like really, really sneakily horrible teams, the Hornets are right there. They are who we thought they were, and this could be easily a 20-point beatdown, especially with Toronto at home. Dallas at Miami. Dallas is somehow 2-point underdogs on the road in Miami. I don't know if that's KP or Lucas sitting out. I kind of want to take that +2. Miami have been up and down a bit shit ever since they got Iguodala. If Luka and KP play this, I can see Dallas winning this pretty handily. So give me the Mavs +2. If KP and Luka sit out, I'd take the Heat, but otherwise, give me Mavs. Sacramento at Memphis. Memphis are 3.5-point favorites at home against the Kings. The Memphis Grizzlies, bit of a on the schneid, four-game losing streak. I think they can break that against the Kings today, tomorrow. Kings... coming down from OKC, it's not too far to Memphis, but on the road, no De'Aaron Fox. I think the Grizz probably just have enough to win this one. Interesting game, though. OKC, Milwaukee, I'll take the Bucks, -10.5. Thunder on a back-to-back, just a bit too tough. to turn around and kick some ass, especially against the best team in the NBA. Cleveland go to the New Orleans Pelicans against the Big Rig and Zion Williamson. Minus 11.5 for the Pelicans. Might be a bit much. That's a bit rich, I think, for my liking. I'll take the Cavs plus 11.5. The Pelicans, look, there's a lot of hype about them, but let's see them absolutely kick some ass. The Cavs do have some big dudes as well, don't forget, between Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, Larry Nance Jr., Andre Drummond, if he actually plays this one. So give him the Cavs plus 11.5. They might still lose, but I don't think they get killed. The Wizards and the Yaz at home, minus 10.5. I'm not going to go with anything with the Yaz at the moment that involves them smoking anybody because they have to win games first. So I'll take the Wiz plus 10.5 because fucking why not? I mean, the Wiz don't tend to get the absolute shit kicked out of them by even good teams. They stick around. I mean, we saw them push Milwaukee this week to fucking overtime. So yeah. Wiz on the road, always a bit of a tough scene, but I think the Yaz might win this, but it's only going to be by like six or something. Detroit at Phoenix. Phoenix is 6-point favorites. I'll take that. The Pistons are the shell of a basketball team at the moment. The Clippers, 5.5-point favorites against the Nuggets in LA. Fascinating matchup. I might take the Nuggets plus 5.5. Clippers still a little bit up in the air at the moment. Denver, a lot of weapons. Plus 5.5 is probably too many points. It was plus 3.5. I'd probably take the Clips. So give me the Nugs plus 5.5. I think they might still lose, but I think it'll be a very close and fun game. All right, head-to-head for Sunday's games. What do we got? Chicago, New York. I will take the Chicago Bulls. Portland, Atlanta. Atlanta on a back-to-back. I think Portland sneak out a win there. Brooklyn at Miami. I'll take the Heaters, even on a back-to-back. But Miami are at home. For both of those games, I think they'll be fine and take care of Brooklyn. Indy at Cleveland. That's right, Cleveland. I'll take the Indiana Pacers. Lakers at Memphis. Lakers should handle that no problems. Houston at Boston. Great game. Give me Boston. San Antonio hosting Orlando. I'll take the Spurs and Phoenix hosting Golden State after playing Detroit the day before. Could be a sneaky win for Golden State, but I think Phoenix might just have enough to win that one. Monday, Milwaukee at Charlotte. I'll take the Buckaroos. Dallas at Mini. Give me the Mavs. Philly at Clippers. Clippers will take care of business against the Embiid and Simo-less Philly. Toronto at Denver. I'll take the Raptors, even on the road against the Nuggets. Yeah, it's a great game, though. Detroit, Sacramento. I think the Kings get one back there. Lakers, New Orleans. That's an awesome game. We get LeBron, Zion, Mark II. I think the Lakers win that, too. And Washington at Golden State. I think the Wiz will somehow be on a win streak and beat Golden State Warriors. Nice one. There you go. So go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia for all your NBA betting needs. Done and done. All right, that's it. We're done for the week, you legends. We'll be back Monday with all the usual dumbassery. Now, remember, if you're in Melbourne on Sunday, come on down to Edinburgh Gardens. We've got the big day not out. I'm out there for the John Curtin. I'll be behind the stumps, wicket-keeping, trying to smash a million sixes. But pub cricket's fucking grouse. Basically, you know, we'll barely be playing. It's all about the tins. There's 16 pubs involved. So we play a very, very small bit of it, and so I'll be sitting on a hill drinking beers for the entire day. So if you're around, come to Edinburgh Gardens in Melbourne, hang out, smash some cheap tins. It'll be fucking fun as. Great day, I think, weather-wise too, so nice one. All right, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG. We're over the socials all the time, you know that. Get around NBAAustralia.com. Check us a rating review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you've got on your Android phone. You know, if you can rate and review, it really does help. So do it, would ya? Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. They're taking me over. Running out of time is awesome. Go stream it. Legendary. Also, big thanks to Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sexshadow, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey, Triple J and Earth. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right, we're going to close out with a brand new Cooking with Bainesy. I love it. This one's a great one. He's going to whip up a delish dish for you. And we will have a rip snort of a weekend, I reckon. So we'll catch us on Monday, you dickheads. Enjoy your weekend. Stay safe. Stay awesome. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Hosen. Cooking with Beansy is filmed in front of a live studio audience. And now it's time for Cooking with Beansy with your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. Yeah, g'day, it's Cooking with Beansy and I'm your host, Aaron Bangers Beansy. Yep, that's right. Just here in this here episode, gonna whip up a nice, delish dish for you. You know what we're gonna do this week? Oh, g'day, Cheryl. Look at you over there. You're always losing your mind. Anyway, we're gonna whip up one of my absolute Aussie favourites that you can have whenever. It is the classic Bangers scrambled eggs on toast. That's right, bloody scrambled eggs on toast. That's right, I love me some scrambled eggs on toast, and I'll tell you what. It is easy peasy, mate. Definitely helps keep up this physique, you know what I mean? Protein, baby. Yeah, look at you. All right, so it's bloody simple, mate. All you gotta do is go down to your soupy, load up on a thing of eggs, get a dozen of them. Don't be a coward. Don't get six, get a dozen. Now get the free range ones. Don't be a prick and get those ones that are from cage chooks. That's a no-no. Now make sure you got some butter, maybe a bit of milk, bit of salt and pepper. And now, don't be a coward. Get some chilies. Maybe grab some spring onions as well. Then get over to your bakery. Say g'day to Stuve the baker. G'day, Stuve. How are you, mate? Yeah, there you go. Now, grab a thing of their fancy sourdough. Don't fuck around with shit bread, mate. This will blow your mind. Trust me. Righto. Now, you put your cooker on your medium. You get your fry pan or your saucepan, whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter, mate. Grease her up with some butter. Now, bang eggs in there. Yeah, that's right. Just flat out, crack them straight in there. Now, some nongs do something different with it and whisk it all up in a bowl beforehand and mix in some fucking mixed herbs and all this shit. Don't bother. Do your whisking as they cook. So that's what you do. You crack the eggs in there, stir them up, take it off the hood a couple of times. There you go. Yep, just let her settle. Stir around. Bit of your milk, there you go. Look, oh, that looks bloody delicious, doesn't it? Yeah, now, pop your toast in, slice up your bread, pop your toast in, big, thick slices, there you go. Now, just sit back, grab a tin. Oh, brekkie tins. How good is this? Now, chop up your chili and your spring onions. Make sure your eggs are looking nice and moist, but not too moist, mind you. And throw them on the eggs. Bang in some salt and pepper on there. Grab your toast, butter her up. There you go. Mrs. will love that. Turn off the heat in your eggs, and then just bang them on. I'll tell you what, Bob's your fucking uncle. Because that, my friends, is an absolute bloody ripper of a brekkie, a lunch, or even a bloody dinner. It's bangers scrambled eggs, that's right. It's just bloody delicious, mate. And it'll dead sit impress the Sheilas, don't you worry about that. You know, got a big night of banging ahead of you, behind you, whatever. Cook up this and they'll never leave your side. That's right. And if you want to get fancy, well, a bit fancy-pantsy, oh, look at this, look at me. Add a side of avo. Add a side of bacon or smoked salmon even. Maybe even some little baby tomatoes. And that will taste fucking unreal. Trust me. Oh, yeah. All right, so how easy is that? Get stuck in, do it at home yourselves, and you'll absolutely bloody well love it. All right, there you go. Tune in to NBA Australia next time for a new recipe, and we'll see you then on the next episode of Cooking with Beansy.